Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Blog Talk Radio.
The Rad Reality Show, and it's Tuesday, and if you want to call in and be part of the talk, the best way to do it is to call in. Please participate. The show won't be good without your participation, so don't sit back and twiddle your thumbs, you know, interact with us, and have fun. We're going to have some fun, 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 fun. Call in at 347-237-5506. And when you do call in, push 1 if you want to talk to the host. Because if you don't push 1, I think you're just listening in. But let's kick it off with some music and get the show on the way.
Jody girl, Jody girl. Keep thinking back. Jody girl, Jody girl, you're spending your time today. Thinking back to the things you used to say.
Where was Jody when the lights went out? Corner shout, out, set the shout. What a party, lordy, lordy.
Make them have a night of a day.
Welcome, everyone, and I'd like to thank you for joining the Rad Reality Show Network. Today is Tuesday, September 25th, 2012. I'm Cherry Garcia. I'll be your co-host today. And I'd like to say thank you all so much for joining us for the premiere of our new show, Jody's Box of Reality, hosted by the lovely Jody Rollins. Jody, thank you so much for being here today. I'm so excited to get your first show started. How are you doing today, Jody?
Hi, Cherry. I am doing really, really well. I want to say hello to all the listeners. I finally get to speak.
So I
know. I'm really excited. Well, let me see. Since it's our first show, we'll do a little background and talk about what the show is going to be because there have been so many questions. So first of all, once again, welcome everybody to Jody's Box of Reality. It's just reality TV shows because first and foremost, I am a fan. I've been a fan of reality shows, and I still am, whether I was on Big Brother or not. The show, we'll talk about pop culture, reality TV. We want to be funny. We want to be silly. And we want to have some serious moments. So I want everybody to know that this is your show. You know, it's going to evolve based on what kinds of reality shows you guys watch, what you think. I want to know your opinions. I'm extremely opinionated, and I'll definitely offer mine, but, you know, fans have a lot to say. So the show will definitely evolve, you know, based on what you guys like. Now, first I have to say, the show cannot be solely discussing Big Brother because CBS has this lovely thing called a contract. and I am contractually obligated to not turn this into, like, I was Jody on Big Brother kind of a show. So we'll briefly touch on a little bit of my Big Brother experience later, but unfortunately, because of the contract, the show cannot be all about Big Brother, and really, we can only discuss it just a little tiny bit. It's not up to me. It's CBS. That may change in the future. We're hoping so, but for right now, that's the way it has to be because of whatever it is that they want, Jerry. I don't know how those contracts work. But
I understand. And, you know, there's so much other reality out there that we've got so much other shows to talk about that, I mean, Big Brother has been talked about, and we can move on and talk about other reality shows. There's so many other shows to talk about, and you've got a radio background.
I do. Yes, this has definitely been a dream come true because I used to, I guess I'll give you my little life story here. I was actually born in upstate New York and lived there until I was about 9, and then the family, my mom, dad, brother, and I, moved to Colorado, a suburb of Denver, and I, for the most part, grew up there. Diehard Bronco fan. I don't know what's going on with them this season. So far, not so good. But, yeah, I went to college out there, and then I transferred and went to school in New York and lived in New York City for 5 years. And then, because I was kind of chasing the whole acting, singing thing, I'd kind of grown up singing and performing, and that was my goal. That was my dream, to do the whole acting and whatever I could get my hands on as far as that goes. And then I moved to Los Angeles because I did off-Broadway, off-off-Broadway, and a lot of plays, but I really wanted to focus on television. And so I lived in L.A. for about 13 years and kind of got sick of it. Like, the acting bug just died in me, and I have no desire right now to be an actress. You know, a lot of people go on Big Brother hoping that they can do that, and that's great, but I always love to talk, and hopefully you guys will enjoy listening to me talk, but that's my thing. You know, when I was in elementary school, my teachers would always have to move me because I talked too much. I remember my sixth grade teacher would say, Jody, your job is not to talk. It's to do your work. And so now, if my job can be to talk, I will have proven her wrong from that sixth grade teacher. So what is it they say, Terry? Find what you love to do and find a way to get paid for it. That is my goal. Talk, 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 talk. Because, like I said, I have tons of opinions and like to share them. And honestly, I think that's what got me on Big Brother, because they ask you to tell them about yourself. And I said, look, I talk too much. I stick my foot in my mouth. I'm opinionated, and I'm going to get myself into trouble. Like, those are the kinds of things that you have to say, because I'm a flawed person. I'm not perfect. And so, you know, talking is definitely my forte. I actually used to play talk radio when I was little, and this will age me. I had my brother's record player, and then I get my record player, and I have my little 45 and my tape recorder. And so I'd fade the music in and out, so I would be the DJ, and then I would have commercials, and I created the commercials myself based on real products, and I would sing the jingle and make up my own jingle and be the voices. I'd have sound effects, and then I would be back to the host again, and then I would interview the star of the show, which was also me. So I actually recorded all this, and maybe someday I'll have to play that on the air, because I still have those cassette tapes. I was a very creative child, Jerry, to say the least.
That's incredible. For being that young, that's pretty creative.
It was fun. I think love to talk. So, but anyway, when I lived in Los Angeles, I was waiting tables like so many, you know, want-to-be actors and actresses do. And I listened to this one talk station relentlessly. Like, I love talk radio. And I waited on this guy who worked at a station that was in the same building where I worked, the restaurant where I worked. And he paid his bill with his credit card. And I saw the host's name. I'm like, oh, my gosh. You know, and I went up to him. I said, I love your station. And he said, really? Have you ever worked in talk radio? I said, no. He said, well, maybe we can get you an internship.
And next thing I knew, I was up in the offices interviewing for an internship, and they said, well, you're not in school, so you cannot do an unpaid internship. How about a paid job? You start at the bottom. I said, oh, my gosh, yes, I love talk radio. And so I started as a phone screener, you know, taking those calls and screening people in. And I worked on a show that was not too edgy. It was more kind of light with a little bit of political stuff information. So people would call up angry and be pissed off, or they would call up really excited to talk to the host. So then I worked my way up to associate producer, where you would pitch ideas for the show. And then I actually worked my way up to producer, where I was working with new hosts and new talent, which was so exciting for me. But I always wanted to be on the air. So it was really almost impossible to get your foot in the door to have your own show at this station, because it was the second largest talk radio station in the nation. You know, so if you don't have a following and professional credentials, and it was almost impossible. And so that's why doing this is a dream come true. And for everybody out there, I want you to know, Cherry is my producer. I don't know why I called you Cherry, maybe because you're a very sharing person, a caring person. But she invited me onto the Rad Reality Show Network to do this show. And it's because of her that I have this opportunity. To give you guys a little background, too, about the Rad Reality Show Network, there's a gentleman by the name of Ron Radkowitz. And in 2008, he started his own reality talk show on Blog Talk Radio. And he loved all things reality. And I've just learned about this gentleman. If there was a reality show on, he was watching it. He was involved. He talked about it. And people loved him. You know, my understanding is he had a larger-than-life personality. And Ron Radkowitz created this Rad Reality Show Network. It's a network of shows. Michelle Costa from Big Brother 10 has her own show, Manic Monday, on Mondays. There's several that you can tune in to listen to. This was Ron's dream. And unfortunately, in 2011, he died of a heart attack. And kind of his dying wish was that his show would go on. And so Cherry Garcia, my producer and co-host here, has done just that, you know, carried on his dream. And so for me, it's truly an honor to do this in his name, Ron Radkowitz, because, you know, he loved reality, I loved reality, and it's just my pleasure to start my own show on this radio network. So thank you, Cherry. I appreciate it. Is there anything you want to add that I left out about Ron?
Well, it's a pleasure having you, Jody. And it wasn't just me that carried on. It was myself, Paul Reed, Michelle Costa, Michael Cowboy Ellis. There was
Cowboy.
A group of us that carried on this show in Ron's honor, and it has been an absolute honor in my heart to carry on the show for Ron. He was a dear, dear friend, one of the best friends ever, and it's just been such an honor to me to be able to carry this show on as his legacy. And with the family's blessing, it's just been wonderful to be able to keep it going. And I know he would be so proud, and he would absolutely adore you, Jody. So I can't wait to see this show just progress and be so successful, as I know it will. So I know Ron would just love you.
Well, thank you. That's really sweet. Loving reality as much as I have, and I was thinking about it actually last night. I'm like, what is it? And I actually want to talk to the callers about that. So if you
we
have
do have some
number,
callers on the switchboard.
Yeah. We'll take some calls here in a little bit, but I know a specific question I want to ask, and the number is 347-237-5506. The question I want to ask is, what is it about reality TV? It's very polarizing, you know? There's people like me and you who love reality TV, and then the rest of society puts it down. Oh, reality TV, I hate that, and it should be canceled, and it gets in the way of scripted shows, and there's such a divide. It's like almost like you're either with us or against us. And I don't understand that because I like scripted shows, but I love reality TV. So I'm curious what everybody else thinks. Let's see. I guess I'll finish off my little life story because after I worked in talk radio, basically I kind of lived in Los Angeles for several years. I started my own web company and then sold that. And I've been kind of a Jody of all trades and done a lot of different things. I worked in foster care with abused and neglected children, and I loved that work. People say, wasn't it depressing? No, actually it wasn't, because I just felt like if I could make a difference in their lives, even for a day, a few hours, a few minutes, then it was the best I could do, and it was so rewarding. As I said on Big Brother, and many people have heard me say, I am a newlywed. Our one-year anniversary is coming up October 15th, and I am blissfully in love with my husband. I waited a long time, Cherry, to find this guy.
I saw him when we were out at the rap party, and he's a doll.
He is. Like, I always tell him he's the bee's knees, and he says I'm the grasshopper's elbows. We are cheese best central.
I feel like,
you know what? Marriage gets kind of a bum rap these days. Like, we were just in Vegas for the Vegas Bash, and all the T-shirts where it's like, you know, talking about, oh, the miserable guy and the happy woman because now his life is over because she wants to get married. And people just talk so poorly about it. It's the best thing I ever did. And a funny story, actually, we met online. We met through eHarmony, you know, back in, I don't know, 2000. Doing online dating, people would just be too embarrassed. Or, oh, how'd you meet? Oh, through a friend. I'm not embarrassed. You know what? It worked. I did online dating off and on for 10 years. And there were times when I was like, this sucks. It does not work. I'm not going to do it anymore. But I would quit and go back and quit and go back. And finally, I met my husband. And he, like I said, the best thing I ever did. And if anybody out there needs advice on dating online, I actually thought about writing a book because I know all there is with all my trials and tribulations. But
wow.
So he's amazing. Yes.
You guys seem so happy. I mean, we didn't see him, you know, but for a short time, but you could tell that you guys were very much in love. And it just seems like you certainly did find your Mr. Right.
I think I did. I didn't think he was coming. I mean, like most women, I had this whole plan in my 20s. I thought, all right, I want to get married when I'm 27. I'll have my first baby when I'm 30, 29. And then my second baby when I'm like 31. And then I had this plan, I'll have my third baby when I'm 34. That was my plan. And then as each year went by, I was like, oh my gosh. I went to all of my girlfriend's weddings, and I was in the weddings, always a bridesmaid, never a bride. And, you know, living in New York City and Los Angeles, dating is really, really difficult, specifically Los Angeles. Cause, well, let's just say it is what people think it is. Los Angeles is beautiful and has lots of pluses, but the minuses, the dating out there is very difficult. Lots of ego, lots of pretense, trying to find a good, decent human being. is to date. It's very difficult. Not the people in Los Angeles are not good and decent, but all my girlfriends who still live up there can tell you how difficult it is. So, yes, he had five kids, which makes them my stepkids, because I've read online that I have five kids, or I've read I have seven, or, you know, strange things or whatever. But they're five of his children, my stepkids. And the ages and names are Tanner, 17, Braden, 15, Brenna, the only girl, who's 11, Caleb, who's 9, and Craig, who is 6. So people always make this face when they look at me and they go, oh, you have five stepkids, like your life must suck. Like they don't say that, Cherry, but that's what their face says. And honestly, he and his ex-wife raised amazing people because I could not be married to this man and be as happy as I am if they weren't amazing. They have said things like, don't call a step, call a son, you know, and they cried when I left for Big Brother. So I just got really lucky, truly blessed to have five of the most amazing people. Most of the time, my life is spent with the three little kids because the two teenagers do a lot of stuff. They're in bands, and one plays on the football team, and that's really interesting because he's quite popular. I was not popular growing up, so it's interesting to see that lifestyle. And but I really love having a big family because I grew up with just one brother, and it's so different. You really end up laughing a lot and having so much fun and so much activity going on in the house. So
there's always
anyway.
A plan. You know, you got your kids, you got your Mr. Right. It came
yeah.
when, you know, when it was supposed to and
mm-hmm.
how it was supposed to. And someone in our chat room, one of our longtime listeners, Lola, just said that your children are the same age as our kids. So
really?
You've got somebody that can really relate. And
we should meet. That would be neat. We should bring like
yes.
all 10 kids and just have them all kind of look at each other and go, hey, we're the same ages. And you know what else is great,
that's
too?
That's great.
I'll stop talking only about my past and stuff, but these are the questions that people ask. I don't always want to talk about myself. But the cool thing is you have a lot of support and help. You know, when you go places, they can hold hands and be together. And it's not mad chaos, believe it or not, because they know that they have to stick together. And they're really good at helping each other. And, you know, the 11-year-old will say to the 6-year-old, this is how I eat my broccoli, because he can't stand broccoli, you know. So
well,
that's
it's
my
really
family
great
life.
That you guys, you know, that you met somebody that has a good relationship with their ex and that raised such
yeah.
good children, because oftentimes, you know, kids from a divorce, you know, that are products of a divorce have issues, and, you know, oftentimes the parents are at war with each other and use the kids as weapons and that kind of thing against each other. And so it sounds like, you know, your husband and his ex were very responsible where the children were concerned and really raised them with, you know, respect and brought them up right. And you were able to, you know, meet somebody with great kids and who really
yeah.
loves you. And I'm so happy for you. And it sounds like we have a happy anniversary to wish for you in the next upcoming month in October. And
yeah.
I can't wait to hear how your first anniversary goes. That's going to be interesting to hear. So I'm so glad to have you on the show, and we'll get to hear all of that now. So along
I'm
with hearing about reality
yeah.
shows, we'll get to hear about how Jody's life goes and how your first anniversary goes, that kind of thing. That's going to be exciting.
People will definitely get sick of it because I'm just a big pile of mush. I mean, he makes me happy every day. I sincerely
aww,
mean that.
So
like
sweet.
Anniversaries, I'm like, okay, that'll be great. But he's like just – and my in-laws are amazing. I'm like, I just thank them for raising such an amazing son. I always tell my girlfriends, and to any single woman who's out there right now looking for their Mr. Right, he was worth the wait. There were dark days, like I said, that I didn't think he was going to show up. But I always said that kind of I had a standard of what I was looking for. Let's just say 0 to 100, 0 being like the worst dirtbag ever and 100 being the absolute dreamboat. And that's what I was aiming for. And when I met him, he was like 20,000. I didn't know that there was a space between 100 and 20,000. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if I'm explaining it well. It was just like he was more than I expected or even dreamed could be. And so I'm eternally grateful. He's like I said, a doll. So I'll stop gushing about him, but he's a good guy. But,
that's great.
Let's see.
Would you
so,
like to take a call?
Sure.
Let's do this. We've got somebody that's been waiting for quite some time. Area code 828. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Nancy, and I'm calling from Claremont, North Carolina.
Welcome,
hi,
Nancy.
Hey, Jody. Jody's my new Twitter friend. Like what? I told you yesterday, good things come to those who deserve it and await. So I just wanted to call and tell you congratulations on your new show. I'm so happy aww. And so proud of you, and happy anniversary. And you hang in there, girl. You're going to do big things in the future. Just real proud.
Thank
and real happy.
You so much. That's so nice that people call in to say nice things. Thank you, Nancy. I remember
thank
her
you.
On Twitter.
Yeah, and thank you for tweeting me back. I really appreciate it. A lot of people don't. They think they're too good, but not you. You're just a real sweet lady, and I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. You're very welcome. At the end of the day, I'm still a fan. You know what I mean? That's how I see it.
But,
well, congratulations and good luck, honey. Appreciate everything that you do.
Thank you. Call in anytime.
Okay,
thank you so much for calling, Nancy.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well,
what a sweetheart.
I know. I just love that. You know, it was. I'll take a few minutes to talk about my Big Brother experience. And again, for anyone who's just joining us, thank you for tuning in. My name is Jody Rollins. This is Jody's Box of Reality, my new reality show. Yay! The phone number here is 347-237-5506. Call in. We'll try to take as many callers as we can here in a few minutes. And again, CBS has us under contract, all of us in the house, or now that we're not in the house, and for me, I certainly wasn't in that long, so that I can't make this a Big Brother reality show. That may change in the future. I don't know. We're working on that. But I can't have a bunch of kind of ongoing Big Brother talk. But I will give you a little bit of history because people always ask. You know what's interesting? I will say this, Jerry. The fans of the show ask one question, and then the interviewers ask another. And I always feel like the fans don't get their questions answered. And since I didn't get to speak on the finale show, myself, Kara, and JoJo all had rehearsed parts that we were going to say, but they just ran out of time, so they cut us out, which I was like, you know what, darn it, cut again by Big Brother. So I was not happy about that, but the show was so much fun at the end that I was just like, what are you going to do? So, okay, here is my Big Brother experience in a nutshell. Basically, I have loved the show since season one. I remember the day in 2001, I was flipping through the channels, and I stumbled across this show. And they were sitting in this little box. It was a diary room. It was different. And I was like, what is this? It was on 4 days a week, and I fell in love with it right away. There were no feeds. I just loved it. I think it was on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday, if I recall correctly. And I was like, this is the coolest show ever. There was a guy named Eddie who had one partial leg amputation, an Asian guy named Curtis. There was a girl from Washington who I think she was Miss Washington. So it was different people, different walks of life, kind of like it is now, but they had all ranges, not so much just 20s and maybe early 30s. It was some older people, younger people, 30s, 40s, and I don't remember if there was anybody older. Maybe there was a 50-something. I don't know. I'm sure the fans out there will know. Anyway, so I fell in love with the show, and I just watched it as all the seasons, you know, started to chip away, and then they had the feeds, and the first set of feeds was terrible. They were choppy. You know, the technology wasn't there. It just wasn't good. I mean, it was a way to kind of be interactive with Big Brother, but, you know, and I thought, wow. Wouldn't that be great to be on that show? And I thought, no, I'll never get picked. Well, finally in 2005, I was like, that's it. I'm going to an audition. And they had an audition, Terry, over at CBS Studios where they film Price is Right. So people lined up around the building for this audition. And I remember I thought to myself, I'm going to get there early. My friend and I went out there. We were pretty close to the front of the line. I want to say within the first 50 people. So we got there extremely early, and then we went and we sat down, and all these different people from past Big Brother shows were kind of walking around with the interview, and I should say walking around with, like, the people waiting in line, and I was so excited. I think Erica was there. I don't remember who else. And then Allison Grodner walked out, and I was like, oh my gosh, you know, she's the producer. She introduced herself, and I was so excited. And I had it in my mind. I was like, that's it. I'm going to be on this show. I could taste it. I could feel it. I had no doubt I was going to be on Big Brother. I felt like I was prepared, and I went in, and they kind of videotape you, and you say a few things. I don't remember what I said. And then they, you know, I think about a week went by, and they called me back. And I was like, yes, I'm going to be on Big Brother. They said, you know, come in for your callback. And I had to go in, and they put you on tape, and they interview you. And I never heard from them again. So that was it.
Oh, no.
2005, yes. I was like, what? I don't know. I feel like I'm an intuitive person, and I just knew I was going to be on Big Brother. And that was as far as I got. And I just was like, oh, my gosh, I'm not going to be on. So a few seasons went by. I was just dejected and hurt. And season 9 happened. And I never remember what year or whatever. You know, usually I don't remember the season numbers. I remember they called it the season of love. And people online, we were talking about
right, that was a couple seasons.
Yes.
That was the winter season when CBS had the writer's strike. Or the whole, basically everybody had the writer's strike.
Yeah, and so they just threw together another season of Big Brother. And I don't know about you guys out there, but I was excited. I'm like, yes, Big Brother, 2 times in a year. This is going to be awesome. And so I'm like, ooh, couple, this is interesting. I really enjoyed that season, but drama. Sherry, you watched that. You've watched all the seasons, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so it was drama central. Adam just abused Sheila. Chatty Natty, as she's known on Twitter right now, was in there. She was just kind of wacky, but she was fun. I just loved it. Parker was on there. It was just craziness. But speaking of crazy, Crazy James was, he scared me. And his temper, and there was a guy named Josh, like those guys just blew up on people. And they were just mean-spirited and just took their anger and disdain out on whoever. And I thought to myself, there is no way I'm going to go on Big Brother and just be abused like this. So it scared me. I thought, nope. And I didn't try out. And years went by, and I'm like, there's no way. And then Evil Dick was on, and he scared me, you know, seasons later. I'm like, I don't want pots and pans banged into my ears, and I don't want iced tea dumped on my head. And I mean, he's like the mastermind of distracting people. So I just thought, there's no way I can be on this show. I'm just too scared. And then this year, for some reason, I just was like, you know what? It's kind of a more tame show. I'm going to go for it. I just have to take a chance. I don't know if I'll be called. I have a different life. I don't live in Los Angeles. A lot of times, you know, they kind of box you into a story, and they'll always have people from L.A., and so maybe I'll have a shot. And that's what I'll say to people out there who want to be on Big Brother. This is my, I don't know, Big Brother 101, if you will. You have to put yourself together as a story because they're looking for just that. You know, if you look back to Natalie on her season, she was I think it was Taekwondo champ who was raised by her father. She's a tough girl. Like, in a sentence or two, you can sum her up. You know, Rachel was the party girl from Vegas, and everybody has to be summed up in a sentence. And a lot of the people who have sent me their videos or, you know, information about wanting to be on Big Brother Canada, they say stuff like, I'm great, I'm awesome, I'm wild and crazy, and I can do anything, pick me. That's not a story. You know, CBS wants to be able to put a story into a few sentences and tell America, or in that case Canada, who you are. You know, and it's got to be interesting and unique. Just saying you're cool and you're fun isn't going to cut it. So what I did was just say, look, who else is a newlywed and lives in the middle of nowhere? Because I live in the desert southwest in Southern California in the middle of nowhere, small town. All of a sudden I have 5 kids. I'm a Big Brother lover, and like I said earlier, I stick my foot in my mouth. I'm opinionated, and I tend to cry when I get upset. I'm not able to hide my emotions. I wear my emotions on my sleeve. That's what they wanted to know. And so I sent in a little tape and filled out the thing online, and apparently it got misfiled, I found out later, because I never heard anything. Weeks went by, and I thought, well, I guess they weren't interested. And so then at the last minute, they called me, and let's see, I'm trying to think of what I'm not allowed to say because they're processed. We can't expose, but some of the stuff, you guys already know how it works. But they called me, and I went in and did the audition and went to this whole thing. And then they said, hey, can you come back again? And I said, all right. And you go through this extremely stressful, time-consuming, you have to stay overnight process where they test you relentlessly. You have to, you know, meet with CBS executives, which that is scary. It's scary. It's kind of like imagine your worst job interview. It's a room full of people. There are like 11 people maybe, and you in a chair. And some of them are smiling like, yeah, go Jody. And the rest of them are like, why should we pick you? You know, I think one of the execs said to me, well, being your age, do you think you'll be able to handle the competitions? I'm like, what? I'm insulted. You know, you can't say that. So I was a nervous wreck. It was uncomfortable. I tried to keep myself calm, but it was hard. So after that, I think another week went by, and they called me up, and they said, you know what? And this is something that I haven't really talked about to too many people. They called and said, you know, we don't want you. They didn't say it that way. But would you like to be an alternate for the show? And I was like, heartbroken, Jerry. I'm like, alternate?
Oh, my gosh.
I went through all of that to be an alternate, and I said, no. I said, I can't turn my life upside down, leave my amazing husband, my five stepkids who don't want me to go. They had shows and stuff coming up. My stepdaughter does swim team. Like, we're there for every sport, every activity. So I said, I can't turn my life upside down to go away for a few weeks and have a chance at being on Big Brother. Because if you remember, as far as I can think back, no one has ever been put on the show because there was an alternate at that point. So I could be wrong about that, but that was my understanding. So I said no, and they were like, oh, are you sure? I'm like, yep, sorry. And a week went by, and Robin Cass called me, and she said, would you still like to be on the show? I'm like, yeah. She said, can you be ready to go in 48 hours? I said, yes. So I ran to the stores, and I bought all the Big Brother wardrobe because it's very specific. You can't have logos. You can't have pastels, anything sparkly, anything busy, stripes, this, that, the other. So you have to spend all this money to buy a new wardrobe to be on this show. So I did that Sunday, went into sequester that Monday, you know, cried like a baby when they come out and you don't know for sure if you're going to be on the show, and they give you your invitation, which is supposed to be a key. I said, what's this invitation thing? And the guy was like, the producer said, they just don't do the key thing anymore. And I was like, oh, okay. And I kind of believed it, and I thought I'll get my key later. Wrong. So I was crying. My stepkids were crying. You know, my husband was holding us all together. It was horrible. Because you assume, I knew I was going to go in there, and if I wasn't going to win, I was at least going to be in there for many months. I knew I wasn't going home first because I was just prepared to dangle off of any banana or do whatever it took to save my life in that game. I was going to do whatever. So I knew I would be there at least for 2 to 3 weeks, but mostly I felt like I would be there for most of the summer, if not till the end. So it's devastating. So you go into sequester. Let me tell you all about sequester. It sounds like fun because they wait on you hand and foot, basically. Anything you need, you call, and whatever, they bring it to you. But it's really mentally challenging because you're put away in a place that I can't say, and you're cut off. You have no TV, no radio, no newspaper, no internet, no contact with your family. And the hours just drag. You have nothing to do. They give you little trinkets and games and stuff, crossword puzzles, and you can watch movies or seasons of Big Brother, two seasons in particular. And it just sucks because you just miss your family right away, and you wonder, wow, what am I doing this for? But then the excitement of going into the house would take over. You know, I'm like, what did I get myself into? It's scary. You're preparing yourself mentally to be this person on an island emotionally because you know that you may or may not get support in the house from your fellow house guests. You are up for ridicule. You know, people are going to say everything in the world about you. I'm old. I'm fat. I'm this. I'm that. I'm loud. I'm whatever it is. They're going to say it about you. So I'm mentally preparing. You're almost like beating yourself up so that you know when the rest of society beats you up, you'll be all right with it. And it's hard to put yourself in that mind, kind of that mindset. And while all that's happening, while you're sort of prepping yourself, you're controlled. Everything you do is controlled. Who you can talk to is controlled. When you eat, what you eat, how you eat, like every single thing you do, and you can't leave. So it plays a game and kind of a number with your brain. And so by the time you get into the house, you know, you finally go through a bunch of other stuff that I can't say, and then you go through press, which that was really, really fun to actually meet other people and, you know, talk about your game and do the videos that I know a lot of the Big Brother fans have seen online and everything. When it's time to go into the house, it's almost like a relief because you feel like you're free. you know. But by the time you're standing there and Julie Chen is telling you, you know, go into the house, I felt like I'm free. I'm running through those doors. I was so excited.
I can imagine.
It was a dream come true. And every single thing you do in that house, in my opinion, was calculated. Like, I went in there, I thought to myself, I want to go in there understated. I don't want to get all dolled up. I don't want to wear stiletto heels and a cute skirt. I want people to underestimate me. I'm just this newlywed with five stepkids, nothing special kind of a gal. So I didn't put on too much makeup, wore kind of, I thought, a cute outfit, but nothing special. And I wanted to be underestimated, which in other seasons would have been a good thing. In this season, they underestimated me and booted me right out. But so going into the house, it was awesome. I just kept saying that, you know, Frank and Shane and people I was slowly getting to know, I can't believe we're here. Can you guys believe we're here? And I ran and I touched everything. I knew that they named the different rooms, so I was like, oh, I want to be in on this. How about, let's see, this room here. They later on, we named it the Boom Boom Room. We were like, look, there's music. There's, like, this boom box on the wall. Like, what does that do? It goes boom, boom, boom. And Shane and I were like, the Boom Boom Room. So we named it that. And then we were like, look at that sneaker room. Yeah, what should we call that? I'm like, sneakers. Like, I don't know. I was like, skid. Look at the skid. Skid Row. So it was really neat to see that later on, a lot of those names still stuck. And I think Kara named the bird room something. I can't remember what it was, but I don't know if that stayed because it became the, you know, the have-not room later on. But I maximized my time in there. Obviously, I had no idea I was going home. I touched the walls. I looked in cabinets. I touched as much as I possibly could. My strange obsession, Cherry, was to look up at the ceiling because they never show the ceiling on the feeds or on the show. So I was, it's almost like breaking through that fourth wall. I thought, I just want to see the ceiling. And it was kind of, like everything else about the house is to the T. And it's colorful, and it's this new decor. The ceiling is like these blue tiles that look like they've been around, shall we say. So I was really excited to finally see the ceiling. But I opened the fridge. I was just like looking around. They had nail polish for us. What color nail polishes did they have? What's this room like, arcade? And I look at the staircase and remember all the people who had climbed up that staircase and the chessboard. I never got to see the HOH room or the coach's room, which, you know, became Pandora's box room. And let's see, the have-not room. Never got to see what that looked like. At that point, I hadn't seen the backyard, but then the competition happened, and we're really excited to go out and do that. That thing sucked. Can I just say it was hard. For them to add those sound effects to make it look kind of cute where it's like, quack, bim, pop, pop, you know. That thing was, it was not only hard, Terry, it was scary.
I bet.
Oh, my life. You know, when did I sign up for, what's that Wipeout show?
Oh, I know, Wipeout. That's what it reminded me of. That first competition was horrible.
Oh, my God. I thought I broke my rib. I'm not even kidding you. Jumping on that thing. And I thought, I have to do this. I have to prove myself. I don't want to be seen as the old one who can't do anything. You know, I went in there thinking, all right, I'm going to go on the Big Brother diet. I want to get in shape. So before that can happen, I have to prove myself. As much as I like to work out and I've run marathons and exercise and stuff, and that's kind of the package they put together for me, I like to eat. You know, I like my snacks. I'll admit it. But that was another sort of tool I was going to use. I'm like, all right, I'm going to go in there. And I'm not a skinny stick figure like so many girls are. I'm strong. I've got my muscles. I could kick some ass if I have to. But, you know, I was ready to go in there and to be underestimated. And so I have to say it was obvious to me that Dan, you know, he didn't choose me. Being chosen last was humiliating. But I was just like, all right, I'm going to use this. People don't see me as a threat. I'm going to use this as my advantage. And jumping on those things was crazy. Having it smack me in the face. There's some tribute video out there where they do it on a loop. And I say, oh, my face, and screaming. And it's hysterical to watch. But it was not hysterical to do. It was exhausting. And even the men were terrible and at it. And they felt that it was awful. And actually, a side note, I will say that the way the edit made it look, it made it look like I didn't do very well. And there are 8 girls. Only 2 of them finished, and that was JoJo and Kara. So the rest of us did not finish that competition. So I did just as well as people in their 20s. So a lot of people, 2 things they would say to me was, well, you couldn't do it, so that's why Dan booted you. I held my own, Cherry. I did what I could. And I'm twice as old as some of those people. So, and the second thing I heard a lot, if I had a dime for every time I heard that, was, well, Dan picked the pretty girls. I'm like, hey, my husband thinks I'm pretty hot, you know? So, whatever. It was very hard. So when we lost the competition, I knew I was going home because I could just see in Dan's eyes he didn't believe in me. I didn't necessarily know why. I knew that I wasn't interested in working with coaches. There were a few of us who were like, coaches? Why do we have to work with coaches? It's going to ruin our game. And we knew they'd probably come into the game, and then they would have an unfair advantage. So Dan, I have to say, was nothing but polite, nothing but kind, nothing but respectful. People are like, did you guys not get along? No, he was great. I wanted to be on his team, but he didn't believe in me, and he didn't want to use me for his game. And I think the reason why, as we all know now, was because he wanted someone he could manipulate, like he manipulated Danielle. And that was great for his game and her game, but there was no way I was going to play someone else's game. I didn't go through all of that to get in that house to play someone else's game. And that's what Willie felt. You know, that's why he flipped out. He was there to play his game. I liked Willie. Willie was a complete gentleman to me in the house. Now, the headbutting thing, terrible. I obviously don't condone that or any kind of physical violence, but he was a sweetheart. So about maybe 20 minutes passed after the competition was over, and my bag was by the front door, and out I went. So it was very quick once after the competition ended that I was booted out of the house, and I was shocked. I was devastated, but I thought, this brother won't do that to me. There's got to be a twist. I know I'm going back in this game, right? And that's kind of what the producers led me to think. I thought for sure I was going back, but then I didn't know for sure. And I went to the hotel and cried and was devastated, and I just couldn't believe that it was all of that to get to this point and get booted out. All of the test-taking, all the stress, and leaving my family. And people are quick to say to me, oh, well, you're only there for a minute. That's not the whole story, you know, Cherry. To go through all of that was an emotional roller coaster. The night after I got booted, I was a wreck. So, and then
I can only imagine.
Well, it got worse because they said, oh, you have to go back to the house tomorrow and take cast pictures. I'm like, what? I'm going to look like a national fool. Like, that's what I felt like. I have to go back to a place where I was booted out and feel like I don't belong there. My chances are done. I'm hoping I can come back. And so I just had to pick myself up by my bootstraps and say, you know what, I'm going back in this game. And that's how I'm going to proceed. And went back, and we took pictures around the pool. And, you know, Willie was so sweet. He came up and gave me a hug. He's like, I almost cried when you got kicked out of here. I didn't get to give you a proper hug. And it just was nice. And, you know, Kara was a doll, and it was great to see Will again because he and I just clicked. We just laughed. People always go, what happened between you guys? We just laughed. From the minute I met him, same with Shane. I was going to align with Shane. He was a sweetheart. You could tell he was genuine. I liked him. We just had a connection.
I think we all know that the game would have been totally different had Jody stayed in the house. I absolutely adore Will. I think he is going to be a star one day soon. I'll just put that out there. He is amazing. And this
really
show
talented.
Would have been so different had Jody Rollins stayed in the house. You know, you have such a great personality. You're such a smart girl. And I think it would have been a whole different show had you stayed in the house. I really, really wish that we would have been able to see a whole season of Jody in Big Brother. I'm just so sad that things turned out like they did. And I don't know. We did have someone. Let me see. I've been writing questions down. Anne Marie in our chat room asked the question, if you could, oh, I'm sorry. Somebody in the chat room asked if you were given the opportunity to go back. I'm sorry, that was Isaac Mom asked if you could go back into the Big Brother house, would you? So I'll go ahead and ask that question now. If you could go back, if they asked you to come back to Big Brother on another season, would you do it? Would you go back to Big Brother?
Absolutely. As long as somewhere in the contract it says you are guaranteed 1 week. You know, I'm like, I would not go through that again to have some out the first night plot that they put up. You know, because for all I know, people would go, well, it's easy to get rid of Jody again because she's already been through this, and it would be sort of silly in a way and dumb at the same time, but it's just such an emotional stress on your family, on your finances, because you don't get paid till the show is over, you know? And I missed 2 weeks of work, but actually it was more like a month of work because it was a week before and then a week after, 2 weeks of sequester plus the week of the finale show. So I missed a lot of work. And Big Brother doesn't care about your finances, you know? And whatever, I was willing to do that. I signed on to do that, but I didn't sign on to get booted night one. Obviously expect the unexpected, but I expect to play the game, you know. I think, and I've said this before, I don't think they should ever do that to anyone ever again. It added nothing to the game. Unless you're going to spin somebody back in, not just me, nobody should have to go through that.
I so agree,
you know,
Jody. I so agree.
And yeah, I'm being stuck in sequestered. I'm going to, you know, end this my Big Brother experience story here in a minute. Basically, after I got my pictures taken and, you know, seeing everybody again, it was bittersweet because it was cool to see people, but and I was happy to see the backyard again as its normal self and, like, oh, this is the backyard and this is where the pool is and blah, 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 because it was all covered with the bed competition, so I didn't know what it looked like. It was hard to leave, and I just felt like, wow, this is where I'm supposed to be. This is my game. I'm supposed to play, and it was not fun. I was very upset. And so to go to sequester, that was even worse than the first sequester because you're put in some house and you have a babysitter called a handler, and they babysit you. If you want an aspirin, you have to ask for it. If you want an allergy pill, you have to ask for it. If you need anything, you have to tell them what you want. All we did was watch movies, which sounds like fun. I watched 25 movies, Terry. I don't need to watch that many movies. Like, I would run around the backyard for exercise and, you know, do what I could, do sit-ups and stuff, because I'm used to having, like, exercise equipment or being able to run distances and stuff just to clear my head and to keep some sort of keep in shape. But it was really hard because I was like, I'm not ever going back in that game again. This sucks. How could they do that to me? And I'd be crying to, oh, yeah, I'm going back, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to stay because I thought there was a chance. So it was emotional roller coaster. I'm going back, I'm not going back. I'm going back, I'm not going back. And I just missed my husband. I've never been apart from him, you know, other than, like, brief times. And obviously we talk and text and whatever all the time. But to be completely cut off from someone you love and your family is not natural. No one does that in life. You know, even guys who do the military, they get a chance to talk to their family. I don't know specifics about that, but obviously they go times when they can't talk to their family. And in no way is being on Big Brother like, you know, being in the military or military family. But it's just not normal to be cut off from your family in that way and to try to deal with emotional stress. So
right.
Sitting there rotting in sequester thinking, okay, I know I'm going back. I know I'm going back. They wouldn't do this to me. They told me that anything could happen right when I went into sequester. That's what Allison Grosvenor told me. And then next thing you know, they were like, all right, you have to do press and you're going home. I'm like, what? So it was all a big shock, and actually my first press interview right after my final day of sequester, I was crying, holding back the tears, because I didn't know I wasn't going back in the house. And they told me I wasn't, and then they said, do these interviews. So I was, like, all choked up.
Oh, my
anyway,
God. I wanted to let you know that somebody in our chat room let us know that Gen City is listening to your show.
Gen City!
I want to give a big shout-out to Gen City. Hi, Jen.
Gen City, you know what, we got to talk a little tiny bit, but more than I got to talk to some of the others, and she, to me, came across like a genuine person. I think she got a bad edit in a lot of respects because they just didn't really show her. I don't know if she's realized that yet. I'm sure it's sort of everything coming out, but, you know, love me some Gen City.
I do, too.
So that's
we do have callers checking up on the switchboard, and I want to let everyone know if you are on the switchboard and you're calling to talk to us, please make sure you press the 1. If you don't press the 1, we don't know that you're calling in to talk to us. So please press 1, and we'll pick up your call. We're getting take calls here real shortly. If you don't press the 1, we think you're just listening to the show, and we'll not pick you up. So if you're calling in to talk to Jody, please press 1 so we know you're calling in to talk to Jody.
Thank you, Sherry. That's important. And today's show is just a little bit different because I want to introduce myself. It won't all be yap about me because I want to hear from you guys. So, you know. But anyway, that was basically the Big Brother experience. And then having all summer to watch the feed, which was Chelsea and the people over at Real Networks were so awesome. They gave me 2-year feeds for free, or 2 years of the feeds for free. So that was awesome. Couldn't really watch them for several reasons. One, because it was difficult to not be there. I wanted to be there, you know. It's like, oh, watching your life unfold without you. I'm like, I want to do that and experience that and try that. Watching the shows was hard because, I, you know, you see yourself walking out barefoot during the credits in the beginning. I'm like, wow, that was a really crappy moment for me. And to see it replayed over and over and over and over and watching people make moves. And I'm like, I want to do this and I want to try this competition. I was there to play. I wanted to fight. I wanted to experience getting rained on and competitions and sliding around. And I wanted to fill up one of those jugs with a teacup. And so it was difficult to not be able to do all of that. And also to watch, you know, and hear people talk about you on the feed, the good, the bad, and the ugly. It wasn't me, you know. I was there for 6 hours the first day and then 2 hours the next. So a total of 8 hours. And some of the negative stuff was really, really hurtful. And I have to say that some of the stuff that people would say about, like, Ian in the very beginning, that he's creepy, he's a creeper, he's a weirdo, he's a nerd, he's ugly. And I defended him on Twitter and would say, you know what, I think Ian's adorable. He was a sweetheart, and I think he's cute in his own way. I really do, and I think he might grow into quite a, you know, catch for some nice young lady out there someday. He actually came up to me at the Vegas Bash, and he said, I saw on Twitter where you defended me. Thank you so much. That meant a lot to me, and I appreciate that. I had to defend a lot of people that would talk crap about me in the house. That was probably the most difficult part. And for the fans who watch the feed, they know what I'm talking about. I'm not going to go into a whole big thing about that because I just want to get away from negativity. But definitely many tears were shed about that, and it was devastating to hear nothing but garbage about you at times. At times, thank God, when Will was in the house, it was silliness and fun. And, you know, I never said, let me just be clear, I never said, I ain't nobody's mama. I think it's hysterical. Will took something I kind of said and turned it into his zany comic ways. He's a comic genius. I love that guy. He's so funny. Like, he just says a sentence when he'll be talking to you, and he just cracks me up. So, but I never said that. All I actually said was, I'm not the mother role, because a lot of times on Big Brother, they kind of put the older person into this corner. Oh, she'll do the dishes, and she can't do anything, and they kind of play the game around her, and she doesn't matter on the show. I don't mind doing dishes or helping people clean up, but I do mind being kind of irrelevant as part of the Big Brother game. I wanted to be in there and play and be involved and be an integral person who's going to make decisions and have control over my game, and that was all I ever said, so... But Will, he made it funnier, for sure. So anyway,
Absolutely. That's
the basic.
Would you like to take a few calls?
Yeah, let's talk to people.
All right, let's do. Area code 801, thank you for calling in to talk to Jody. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Ellen from Reality Totes. How are you, Sherry?
I'm great. How are you?
Oh.
Good. Hi, Jody. How are you?
Hi, I'm well. Nice to actually talk to you.
You too. Congratulations on your show. I'm very happy for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Can you tell everybody real quick what Reality Totes is for people who don't know? Because I'm familiar with it now, and she has a really big cause.
I will tell them real quick. Reality Totes is, it's a website that I created, and we make reality totes, and we have... beautiful reality people like Jody, who will be doing this soon, pose with our reality bags, and the proceeds from the bags go to the Progeria Research Foundation, Fugeria is an aging disease where little children are aging faster than normal, and, you know, they have a very short life expectancy. So yesterday we got some really good news that they finally have a drug that seems to be helping the cause, and so really happy to everybody in the reality community who has helped us to this point and who will be helping us in the future. So, yeah, it's really nice to hear your voice and to actually speak to you. And I wanted to just comment as a fan, as another woman, I guess. I was really relating to your story about meeting your husband and things. My husband and I was like in my 30s when I met my husband and got married. And I totally agree with you that, you know, it's worth waiting for that right person, because that's what happened in my life too. And there he is, and you know it. When people always would tell me, you'll know it when you feel it, when you experience it, but I can certainly relate to you on that level, Jody. So good luck to you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for calling in. And again, that's Reality Tote. She's on Twitter if you guys want to support her and her cause. I think it's an amazing cause. And
she does an amazing job.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. And Jody, we'll be in touch. We'll get you a nice, pretty pink bag for you, okay?
Thank you so much. Pink.
You're welcome.
I love my football, and I like to go hiking and run and be a tomboy, but I love pink, too. So that's when I get all girly girled out.
Well, good
Thank
luck with the rest
Ellen
of your
so
show.
Much.
Okay,
thanks,
take care, guys. Bye.
Okay, we've got more calls, so we're going to go straight to another call.
Sure.
And we'll take area code 903. Thank you for calling the Rad Reality Show to talk to Jody. What is your name, and where are you calling from? Area code 903. Well,
all right.
We lost them. Okay.
903. Where's that? Let me Google it and find out where 903 is.
Let's take this one. Well, that one apparently, that was calling from Skype, so they apparently have... We'll take another one.
903, I'm Googling it.
Texarkana. 954. Area code 954. You're live on the Rad Reality Show. Thank you for calling to talk to Jody. What is your name and where are you calling from?
This is Allie the Caddy Dude calling from Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
On the golf course.
What's up, Jody? You just kind of write the book 481?
You know, I think that's a good idea. And for those who don't know, 481 was the number of minutes from when I stepped in the Big Brother house to when I was booted out.
Yeah, I mentioned it on Twitter, and you got a good laugh. I'm out here on the golf course. These guys are getting a little upset with me because I'm slow playing. But I got them listening to the show, and they're very excited.
That's so awesome. What an honor. Thank you so much.
Sure thing. You keep rocking, Jody. It was great talking to you.
Thanks. Go play some golf.
Thank you for calling in, Alexander.
Thank you very much, Sherry. New fan.
You have a great day.
Four.
I like that.
Oh my goodness.
Next.
Okay. Area code 781.
Hello?
Anne-Marie?
Yes.
Hi, Anne-Marie. How
Hi.
Are you?
Hi, Jody. Hi, Cherry. Hi, Paul. Yeah, I'm fine. I've been waiting and to get on. Jody, I felt so bad when you left. Did you think you were going to go back in when Willie had his fit? A lot of the fans did.
No, because generally speaking, I know how Big Brother works. Once you're, like, out into the real world, they almost, as far as I know, never bring anybody back. And I was at home and had long since been at home. I wish they had, and I had all these ideas in my head about how they could, but, you know.
Yeah, because that coach thing was such a waste. It
yeah,
was just
I agree.
So aggravating, and I was amazed. Were you amazed that Brittany even mentioned it to Willie about the coach thing? I mean, like you said, you're sitting here saying, you know, I can't say this and I can't say this. I was surprised that she would even mention that twist to one of the other players.
I don't know. I mean, that's a good question. Good question for Willie.
Now, is he just out of Big Brother, do you know? He wasn't in the backyard.
Oh, no, yeah. They don't have him come back. If you break the rules, you don't get to come back.
Yeah. Oh, no. Well, I felt so bad. What did you think about Dan coming? What about his play? I was hoping he wouldn't get so close, but I couldn't stand. I was so mad at Danielle because she just, I felt like she was an abused woman. She just kept letting him hit her and, you know, do it again and again. It drove me nuts. Did it drive you nuts?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was just Team Ian. No, you know, no hard feelings towards Dan. I love that kid. He's just a sweetheart, so that's kind of where my focus was, you know?
Well, I felt bad. I'll let the other people go on, but it's nice talking to you.
You too. Thank you so much for calling in. Keep listening.
Oh, I always do. Bye, guys.
Thank you so much, Anne-Marie.
No problem.
Okay. We've got another call from area code 613. Thank you for calling the Rad Reality Show Network. You're on with Jody. Area code 613.
I think some of these people had to hold so long, unfortunately, they had to hang up. We're so sorry if we had to hold for a long time.
Area code 613. Are you there?
Sounds quiet to me.
Doesn't sound like they're still there.
And again, I do have to repeat that this is sort of going to be the one show where I'll get to really talk about Big Brother. And unfortunately, because of CBS and how their contracts work, I can't make this show all about Big Brother. Again, that could change, but as of right now, that's how their rules work.
I'm going to try this one more time with area code 801. Thank you for calling the Rad Reality Show. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Everybody's disappearing.
Yeah, it sounds like we've had them on hold for so, so long. We just had another one pop up. Let's try that one.
Welcome to the world of live talk radio.
Okay, here we go. Area code 812. Thank you for calling the Rad Reality Show. You're on with Jody Rollins. Thank you. What is your name and where are you calling from?
I'm from Indiana.
Indiana. What is your name?
My name is Mickey. Jody, this is Mickey Joe from Twitter.
Oh, wow. The Nikki?
Yeah. I just wanted to... I told you I had a southern accent. I just wanted to call in and say hi, and I'm so excited about your radio show, and I loved you. I wish you could have stayed longer in the house. Of course, everybody does. And my dogs are going crazy in the background. They heard me talking, and they're just nosy.
That's so kind. Nikki has been awesome. She just, like, sends so much support on Twitter. And I've said this before, but thank you, everybody, who wrote me on Twitter or Facebook or whatever. Just any sort of positivity. It was hard. Being on Big Brother was my dream. It was a dream come true to be booted. So all the support just made my summer. So Nikki was definitely part of the group that just, you know, made me smile on a regular basis. So thank you, Nikki.
Well, I appreciate that. We just love you to death. We appreciate you. And I'm just tickled to death for you. And I'm just going to keep listening and you take care of yourself. I just wanted to give you a holler and say hi.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for calling in.
Let's take a couple minutes and talk about what the show will actually have on it. So I want to talk about, obviously, reality shows. Basically, this show will be about that because that's what we all know and love, and pop culture because, in a way, a lot of things that happen in pop culture are like reality show playing out in real life. You know, so from celebs and gossip to maybe a little tiny bit of politics, but not anything real serious as far as politics, because I know people will just turn me off. And, you know, we're going to have a lot of fun. That's my goal. But I also will want to touch on some more serious issues as well. So we'll have our moments of serious. And I would just hope that if you hear something you don't like, keep listening because we'll move on to something hopefully that you do like. And the show, again, is going to evolve based on what you guys watch and what you guys like. obviously I have my shows and I can't tune into every single reality show. I have no time to do anything else with my life, but I will definitely kind of take your input and hear what you have to say. So just again to kind of give the rundown of which shows I'm interested in talking about. The Challenge on MTV, it's that whole Real World, Road Rules, even though Road Rules doesn't exist anymore, challenge show. And I love that one because it's high-packed, action-packed energy. You know, the stuff that they have to do, jumping off of mountains and bungee jumping and swimming and these hard, basic, like, obstacle courses and all sorts of stuff. They have to do it in ice-cold weather. They go all over the world. For people who haven't seen the show, it's everyone who's been on the MTV shows. They compete against each other for different amounts of money, I guess, depending on the season, but like $150,000, something like that, plus or minus. And they compete, and each challenge is slightly different on how you win. And at the end, it's two teams battling it out for the final challenge for all the money. And it's relentless. I don't know if I could do that. I was able to meet Mark Long in Vegas, who, wow, what a tall drink of water he is. He's been on MTV shows for, I think, 18, 19 years, and a few other people from those shows. And it's hard work. And there's also, of course, drama mixed in and backstabbing, kind of like on Big Brother. And it's really, really fun to watch. So I'm a huge fan of The Challenge. Next, of course, is my favorite guilty pleasure, Real Housewives of. Now, I don't watch all of The Real Housewives because I don't have time to watch all The Real Housewives. But I really love New York, which is different this year, Beverly Hills, Orange County, and New Jersey. I saw Miami a little bit. It's back. I haven't really had a chance to see it recently. Atlanta, it gets a little too wacky for me, but I do watch that sometimes in repeats. And I can't think. There was Washington, which doesn't exist anymore, Washington, D.C., but there's a lot of juicy stuff to talk about because you have these entitled women who are, I don't know about you guys out there, but they're living totally different lives than I live as a real housewife of the desert Southwest. And it's just, to me, it's fascinating. My husband's like, what do you like about this show? These women are so catty, and I'm not like that. I'm kind of a girl that, like, I have a lot of male friends, and my girlfriends I've known for years. And I've never been the girl that has girl fights and gets catty with the girls, but I love to watch it. I mean, we like that on Big Brother, right, Terry? We love the drama.
Absolutely.
So, and it's really, if you haven't watched any of the Real Housewives shows, it's fascinating to see what they call a problem. You know, all of them are very, very wealthy, and so-and-so was talking about me, and it was just really difficult, but I love those women, and I like looking at the clothes and the jewelry and, you know, the hairstyles and all of that stuff. So that's when I get kind of girly-girled out, is when I watch Real Housewives. The next show is Project Runway. Love that show. Cherry, you said you used to watch that show. Is that right?
Right. And, you know, I've watched it on and off since it began, and the only reason I didn't stop because I don't love it. The only reason I didn't watch it was because it conflicted with some other show that I was watching, and I'm just such a reality crazed nut that there's so many reality shows that I'm watching that sometimes I have to pick and choose one above the other. And if it's I've only got so many TVs in my house, so many DVRs, and if it conflicts with something else that I'm watching and I can't fit it in, then, you know, you have to cut something, and that's what happened. But I love that show. It's something that I think it's done very well every year. It's got great ratings, and, you know, it's another one of those competition shows where it can get really good. I mean, competition is really fierce in that show.
And that's their life. You know, Big Brother, obviously, it emotionally feels like your life, and it is. But when you're done, you're sort of done, and you get on with your life. That's their future for their career. I don't know about you, but I can't sew. I'm lucky if I have a hole in my sock, I probably just throw it out. I just don't sew, you know, or just keep it to make a sock puppet for one of my stepkids or something. But I can't sew anything. And to watch what they can do in just a few hours, I don't know if anybody watched last night. They had to make a costume for the Rockettes in Radio City Music Hall in New York City. And this one guy, if you guys watched the show, Dimitri, I loved his. It was the sparkly, like, movement little dress. It was blue, and it was pretty. It was, had one arm sleeve and this crisscross thing, and it had fringe. I was like, how do they create this? Like, out of nothing. Just, they're amazing what they do. Hopefully we can have people from these reality shows. That's the plan. You know, people from past Project Runway and challenges, and that's our goal on the show, is to have people so that you guys can have access to them, and we'll interview them and get your questions answered. Michael Parisi says on Twitter, oh, Survivor, I hope you include Survivor. Well, the Rad Reality Show Network has a sister, or I should say a family of shows, and someone else covers Survivor, so I can't really step on their toes. I'm sure maybe it might come up, but that show kind of belongs to them, and out of respect for them, we'll keep it that way. So the next show I watch, which I don't know how I feel about it this season, is American Idol. I kind of feel like I'm getting a little sick of it now, especially since Nicki Minaj and Mariah Carey are going to be the judges. I liked it when Simon Cowell was on, so I may be switching over to X Factor. I really want to see how Britney is as a judge. People told me she was awesome. I saw a little clip, and I thought she looked great. I don't know about you guys, but really, when was the last time we really heard Britney Spears speak? She just, for many, many years now, we just would see pictures of her after her sort of breakdown, whatever what it was that happened to her. But, you know, I'm looking forward to hearing, you know, what Britney has to say and what she's like. So, but let's take some more callers right now and kind of see what else they have to say. How does that sound, Sherry?
Oh, we just, one just dropped. Let's try this one. Area code 301, thank you for calling the Rad Reality Show Network. You're on with Jody Rollins on Jody's Box of Reality.
Hello, Jody. I just wanted to call and congratulate you on this gig that you got. I can't think of anyone more deserving than you.
Oh, thank you.
I have been following you on Twitter. I don't think I have tweeted to you. I'm more of read tweets than tweet myself. But,
what's your name?
Hi. Yeah, I did enjoy reading, and I was so glad that you, as the summer progressed, you seemed to be better and better and getting over what had happened a little bit. And I did want to say that I am a live feeder, and I did. I just wanted you to know that I'm sure I'm not alone in saying that many of us were skeptical about the veracity of what was said about you because there were so many things said, and not many of them were believable after a while, so... no worries there.
Thank you.
You're
What's
welcome.
What's your name and where are you calling from, by the way?
My name is Norma, and I'm calling from the Maryland suburbs of Washington, D.C.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you, Norma.
You're very welcome, and I wish you the best of luck in the future.
Thank you so much.
You're quite welcome. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for calling in, Norma. I hope you'll call again and be a longtime listener to the show.
Well, I am a reality TV junkie, so that's quite possible.
Well, join us, and we'll be talking about a lot of reality here. So
I sure will.
I
Thank
look forward
you.
To hearing from you again.
Alrighty.
Take care, Norma. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay.
Any more callers,
Brittany? We do. We've got another one. Here we go. Area code 626. Thank you for calling into Jody's Box of Reality. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Pasadena. Hi, my name is Sean.
Pasadena.
Actually, I'm in Studio City right now on the CBS lot.
Oh,
my name is Don,
hey.
But Jody, you know me as Milkman on Twitter.
Milkman!
And also from the Merch Show.
Yeah, hi, how are you? Nice to hear your voice.
I'm doing great. Yeah, it's nice to talk to you. I saw you at the wrap party, but I didn't get a chance to come up into the VIP section and hang out.
Oh, man. Milkman's always on Twitter. He's in the biz, right? You work in radio and TV and everything?
Yeah, so it's nice to hear your voice, too. And congratulations on this show. I think it's going to lead to some great things for you.
Thank you. From your lips to God's ears, as I always like to say.
And as a fellow reality junkie, I really enjoyed your story about Big Brother that you just told us.
Oh, you're very welcome. Well, thanks for calling. It's nice to actually hear these people's voices, Terry. You see them on Twitter and stuff all the time, and you don't know what they sound like. So I think this is fun.
Right. It is nice to be able to put a voice to somebody's tweet that you've been tweeting to or talking to on Facebook. It's so much fun to actually talk to them live and hear their voice. When you meet them in person, it's even better to actually go up and give them a hug. It's wonderful. That's what this show is about, being able to connect fans to, you know, the people that they, you know, have watched on TV. And it's so much fun to hear the fans, you know, finally just be able to talk to you. And they get so excited just to be able to talk to you and be able to say the things that they wanted to say when they saw you on TV and you know, they saw what happened to you and, you know, that broke their heart. And they had, you know, they have emotions that they want to say, you know, Jody, we're so sorry or whatever. And it's fun to be able to just make the connection between the fans and the reality people that they watch. And that's what makes it so much fun for us, you know, doing the show.
What I like about Jody is she uses the word positivity.
Absolutely.
No, because there's a little negativity out there, but the overwhelming part of it is positivity, and every now and then you just need a little pickup. And there's always
Absolutely.
Plenty of positivity out there. And we've actually talked about that on Twitter.
With everything that happened to her, she took an awful thing that happened to her and has turned it into such a positive thing. She came out and stayed so positive, connected with her fans, and has stayed so positive through everything that, you know, has happened, and has just smiled through it all. And I love that about her.
Absolutely. And, the reality TV family, you know, cast members from different shows have opened up their arms to her and said, hey, you're part of our group. You know?
Yeah, that was the biggest, like, you know, surprise and joy at the same time, you know, because when I left the house, I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm just going to be the person they laugh about, and that'll be it. And
no,
as
time goes on.
Donato and, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to go to the Vegas Bash this year, but when you're at Reality Rally next April,
Absolutely.
You know, you're going to have an amazing time. It's such a great group of people. And
can't wait.
Yeah. Well, I look forward to meeting you there.
Absolutely.
If not
sooner.
Yeah.
Did
you get a chance to talk with Jillian?
I haven't.
Oh,
I don't think I have.
She was at the wrap party, and she's the lady that organizes the Reality Rally. And I'm going to send her an email right now saying.
Oh, I think I did. I may have met her for like 2 seconds because that was a crazy night. That was
absolutely.
It was so much fun, but it was like, you know, mayhem.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I'll make sure that you get in touch with Jillian, and she'll extend an open hand to you to go to Reality Rally.
Yeah, for those of
and
you that
also,
don't know, Reality Rally does charity. What's the charity that it supports, do you know?
It's called Michelle's Place, which is a breast cancer support center down in Temecula, California.
Okay.
And Jillian works year-round organizing this pretty much the most amazing reality carry event. She has over 120 reality stars that come, and they do a simulated amazing race competition through the middle of Temecula. And they have a couple of events at the different wineries there, and it's a first-class event. I mean, and they get, you know, the winners of every reality show you can think of.
That's
from Survivor,
exciting.
Big Brother, Amazing Race, all the MTV shows. It's really impressive.
Well, I want to help her out any way I can. Yeah.
She does one of the best charity events in the reality world. Her event is so amazing. I want to get out there to check out her event. I mean, I've talked to all the people that go out there, and her event is one of the most respected events in the reality world. She just does everything top-notch. Everybody that's gone out there has had nothing but positive things to say about her event. She actually thought that up after she was voted off of Survivor and was in what they call Ponderosa. She thought up the concept of Reality Rally, and she has made it such a success. She has over 500 volunteers now that work that event. She's now taking it to other cities, and it will basically go into other cities where they can, you know, now start Reality Rallies in other cities. And
wow.
Yeah, it's actually going to be such a success. And you know, for such a great cause like breast cancer, I can't think of anything better. I'm just so proud of Jillian. She is such an amazing woman. And like he said, she works on this year-round, and she puts everything into it, and you can tell because it's such a success. And everybody has just wonderful things to say about it. I'm just so thrilled for her, and I wish her every success in the world for all of her dreams. And, you know, yeah, all the women she helps, you know, she's just such a blessing to this world. She has made, you know, so many people's dreams come true by doing what she does. And, you know, she wasn't on Survivor for very long. But
I think
getting
she was voted out first.
She wasn't on there for very long.
Was she voted out first?
Yes, indeed she was. Survivor
All right, well,
was voted out first.
We will have a bond that shall never be broken. Well, thank you, Milkman. I look forward to meeting you and sharing.
Yeah, I'll talk to you on Twitter, and you always have an open door to come back on the merch show and promote your show that you're doing on here.
Yay. I met him in Baker, too, and I got to talk to him, so that was neat. If you haven't heard of the merch show, you can Google it. It's MURTZ, and he's out of Canada, and the guy is, like, brilliant when it comes to reality, in my opinion.
We love the merch show for him. So go to
merchshow.com, and you can actually go back and rewatch the show that Jody was on when we had Ronnie Talbot as a guest.
Yay! With a shout-out to Ronnie, I hear he's having some health issues. I know people are like, Ronnie the Rat. He was nothing but kind to me and supported me when I got booted out. And I hope you're doing okay, Ronnie, because I think he's hysterical, and he was fun to watch on Big Brother. Love him or hate him, he was fun to watch.
Yeah.
So,
he's a great guy,
Ronnie. Yes.
So, okay.
All right, thank
well, Jody,
you,
I'll keep you posted on the appropriate show for you to call in to Mertz and promote this show, because
great.
I think what you're doing is great.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Well, Cherry, it looks
thank
like we have
so
about 5 minutes
in.
Here. 5 minutes to the very end of my very first show. Yay, sound effects.
Wow.
Clapping.
Well, congratulations. I'll speak to you soon.
Thank
all
you
right,
so
bye-bye.
Much for calling in. You have a great day.
You guys as well.
All right. Take care.
Some of the other shows, by the way. So basically, here's the list. The Challenge, Real Housewives of ... Project Runway, American Idol, that's on the bubble, whether or not. X Factor, also on the bubble. Locked Up Abroad, Top Chef, The Bachelor / Bachelorette, and I really love a lot of the Bravo and TLC shows. We might even get into this new Honey Boo Boo. I know a lot of people, we were joking about it on Twitter a couple weeks ago, so we might talk about that just for like a fun train wreck to watch. But Locked Up Abroad is kind of an offshoot. It's almost like reality docudrama TV. I just love this show. If you haven't heard of it, it's on the Nat Geo channel, which is a sister of the National Geographic Network or whatever. But it's basically about people, regular people from different parts of the world, usually the United States as well as England, I think, who are maybe down on their luck, and someone approaches them to smuggle drugs in from some foreign country, and how they get locked up and their story. And it's fascinating. The real person tells the story, and they do reenactments of the actual events. But they're not cheeseball reenactments. It's like a movie. And you sit there, and you're like, it's a nail biter. You're at the edge of your seat. What is going to happen to this person? Are they going to jail when they're trying to go through the airport with heroin, you know, stuck to their suitcase in some pouch? It's fascinating. It is my new love. Again, if you haven't seen it, it's called Locked Up Abroad on the Nat Geo channel. But so we're going to talk about that. And again, you know, the show will evolve into whatever it turns into, but it'll always be about reality and pop culture. Today was sort of a chance to get to know me a little bit more, but I want to know you guys. I want to hear your opinions. Of course, I'll offer mine. And just to reiterate, for those of you who missed out at the start of the show, this show is called Jody's Box of Reality because I love reality TV, but it's on the Rad Reality Show Network, which is a family of different blog talk radio shows. Michelle Costa being one. She's from Big Brother 10. Her show is Manic Mondays on Monday nights. And there's several others, and we'll get more information to you about those shows So it's an honor for me to be part of the Rad Reality Show Network. Ron Radkowitz started this. He passed away in 2011. So we're carrying on his legacy of loving reality. So I know you guys love reality TV, or at least maybe you do. And pop culture will be interesting. A little bit of spice we'll throw in there. But it's because of Cherry that this show happened. She gave me this opportunity. So for everybody out there, Cherry's in St. Louis. I'm here in the desert of Southern California. I just want to say publicly thank you to Cherry, because without her, this show would not have happened. So thank you, Cherry.
Well, thank you, Jody. I don't know if you have a few moments extra. We've had tons of questions in the chat room. I have extended the show just a few minutes. If you have a few moments extra, if you want to end the show, we can. Lola asked, if you had made the jury, who would you have voted out? Or who would you have voted for, I should say?
You know, I've gotten that question before. It's a great question. It's hard because if you're there, you have different relationships. But if everything was exactly the same somehow, and I was on the jury, as it is and as it was, I would have voted for Ian. And the reason for that would have been because I just feel like he played the type of game that I have more respect for. And I always have to say this. I have no hard feelings against Dan, but I think the swearing on the Bible and the grandfather's cross and the way he just backstabbed was heartless. And everyone says, hey, there's no rules for that game, and that's the way it goes. That's all great. If that's how you want to play the game, go for it. If that's what you believe in, congratulations, good for you. I'm not that person. You have to lie and manipulate in that game. That's the way it goes. But to blindside people the way he did, it broke my heart. When Shane sat there with Julie Chen, his face was as white as a ghost, and he was fighting back tears. And I think there would have been other ways you could get him out without blindsiding him like that. So respect for Dan, because he played a game that no other has played like that. But I just am pro-Ian. So.
I certainly agree. Okay, Jack in the chat room asked, being a singer, will we see you on Idol or The Voice?
You know what's interesting is when American Idol came out, however many, 13, 10, 11, 12 years ago, I think the age was you had to be between the ages of 16 and 24. I was already in my 30s, so there was no hope. There's still no hope. I'm too old. Can't be on age discrimination, but they just don't let it.
You can be on The Voice. There is no discrimination on The Voice.
I know. I actually was in the process last year of trying to audition for The Voice, but then was like, I don't know. I mean, I love to sing, but I love reality shows and talking more than I love to sing. I actually was more interested in that show, Duets. That one, I missed the deadline. I was all gung-ho about going on that. I don't know if it's coming back with what's her name? Oh, my gosh. It was Robin Thicke, and then there was a country singer, and Kelly Clarkson. So I would love to do something like that. I love duets, but you never know. I'm not against doing The Voice. It's just hard. It's hard to, like, get yourself emotionally back up into that mental place, you know? So, but good question. Thank you.
I'm sorry. That question actually came from Alexander, your friend on the golf course there.
Oh, Alexander. All right, so let's take one more question.
We've had so many questions. And let's see. Squall in the chat room asked, would there be any other reality show that you would like to go on if given the chance?
Yeah, like I said, Duets. I think maybe Amazing Race. I'd have to think long and hard about that, because that takes a lot out of a person. Traveling all over the world and on a plane and running, but I consider it, you know, not Survivor. I just can't deal with the whole getting chewed up by bugs and eating rats for dinner and just, no. God bless those people who could do that. Sort of Real Housewives of the Desert Southwest, which does not exist and nobody wants to watch this because you're not rich. Well, some people out here are rich. I'm not, but yeah, so you never know. I'd definitely be open. Sure.
And one last question. This one came from Evoykin. Did Big Brother / CBS encourage all house guests to limit negative comments against other house guests? I asked in relation to Danielle regarding some websites / interviews
being asked not to ask questions about Danielle and her lies. I don't know if
they did, I know nothing about that because they didn't say that to me. I can only speak for myself. And the biggest thing is, you know, with Danielle, she said a lot of things that hurt a lot of people. But that house does things to you. So I don't know her. I don't know her past experiences. But what I do know is when you're in that house for a short amount of time, it takes a toll. So as long as she was in there and then to just come out into society and be bombarded is difficult. So, you know, she has to deal with what she said and what she didn't say and her life choices and whatever. That's on her. But what I will say is I personally don't want to piggyback on that. You know, I'm a pretty forgiving person. And, you know, to be honest, yes, she definitely hurt me. But, you know, she has to experience all of this craziness. And I think a lot of us, the ones that I've talked to, people like Will and Kara, she's a person, and a person who has feelings, and I don't want to make her life worse, because it's a lot to come out of that house, and in no way do I understand what she's going through, but I can try to be empathetic and just say, you know, I wish her the best, and I hope it's just, you know, not a terrible, terrible experience for her. So if CBS or anybody said anything to anybody, they didn't say it to me. So there's your answer.
Ashes to Ashes in the chat room said, thanks to Jody for a great first show, for being so awesome to me on Twitter, and for being awesome in general, for her 481 minutes of awesome, and just for rocking in general. So, you've got some great, great fans, Jody. It's been such a pleasure doing the show with you. You've had a great first show, and I can't wait to see how the season progresses. I know we're going to talk about some incredible shows as the, you know, things progress, and it's just a pleasure having you on.
Well, thank you. Thank you, everybody who's tuned in and supported the show and or me. I'm eternally grateful. Keep listening to Jody's Box of Reality. We've only just begun, as that song goes, and we'll definitely have more time for callers and questions in the future. And just thank you. Thank you, Cherry. Now we got the first show in the can. So I'm Jody Rollins. Thanks for tuning in.
I just want to say, as Jody has, that we do appreciate everyone for coming to this first show. It's been a pleasure having Jody on, doing Jody's Box of Reality. And we want to encourage everyone to come back every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Central, and noon Pacific time to join us for Jody's Box of Reality. She's mentioned all the shows that she'll be doing, and it's going to be a fun time. She's got this show that she's going to do every week, and we're going to be talking about lots of reality pop culture, and Jody's going to have a wonderful show here, so I can't wait to have you all back. We will be doing a show Friday with Michael Cowboy Ellis. That will be our Big Brother 14 roundtable show. That is at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Central, and 11 a.m. Pacific time. I hope you'll join us for that as well. Manic Monday is with Michelle Costa from Big Brother 10 is at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific time. Please check that out as well. And I'm going to close the show with Ron Radkowitz, as we always do. Thank you for coming. Everyone, please have a wonderful day. Take care,
thank
everyone.
You, Sherry.
Be kind to each other.
One other thing people have been asking, sorry to interrupt you, the show will be archived, so if you missed any of it, you can always tune in whenever you want, and we'll put the link up within 24 hours. So thank
yes.
you, thank you, thank you for tuning in.
Have a great day, everyone. Be kind to each other. Here's Ron.
Bye-bye.
Tonight, it was a great show, and I want to finish off the show with a little music and say to all of my listeners, thank you guys, and thank you all for coming in. Thank you.
love you for my life. Darling, you're a friend of mine. When my life is over, remember when we were together. We were alone, and I was singing this song for you. We were alone, and I was singing this song for you. We were alone, and I was singing this song. Singing a song for you.
So, thank you guys. Love you.
I'm closing Jody's Box of Reality for today, but we hope you'll be back next week. Take care, everyone. God bless.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.